The first, the issue of the seventh-day Sabbath. And next week, the issue of the rise of spiritualism in the United States of America. These issues have to be dealt with in order for the fall of Babylon to be a complete sentence theologically for God's people. If you have your Bible, hold it up. There are no Bibles in the balcony. If you have a phone that's your Bible, hold it up. Yeah, I figured my young crowd would do that for me. I love them. I love them. I love them. You're going to need it today. I really need you to listen today. I'm going to teach. Let's pray. Father, you are going to teach.
Amen.
And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Revelation, the 18th chapter. And let's go there and look at it. I'm going to start in verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Now, if you followed the Revelation narrative, you know that every time one of these angels appears, a great teaching is to take place. Verse 2, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, what, church? Keep on reading. And a prison for every foul spirit. You're reading on. And a verse 3 altogether, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of fornication. Now let me pause here, Frank, and remind you that we taught you last week that this wine of Babylon is identified clearly in the Greek and in the commentary as representing false teachings. The wine of Babylon is her false teachings. Her false teachings. That's her wine. And so it's being said here that the nations have drunk of her teachings and of her fornication, which is an alliance with Satan. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. They've joined in her alliance with Satan. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And so the business world has bought in to these false teachings and have benefited from these false teachings that come out of the mouth of Babylon. Now, Babylon in chapter 18 is the woman of chapter 17. You're turning your Bible to Revelation 17, 1 and 2. Now, I'm going at it now. I'm not going to pause very much. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, here comes the angel again. Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have done what? That's the same language that describes the city Babylon in Revelation 18. Do you see that?
Yes.
They're the same power. So the woman of chapter 17 is the Babylon of chapter 18. Does everybody see that? And then we find out in Revelation 17, 18, read, Revelation 17, 18, read, and the woman whom you saw, it's on the screen, folk, is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So the woman of 17 is a city, and of course now we know that city is called Babylon. But the name Babylon has to be symbolic. Because the real Babylon of ancient history, located in the Middle East, was destroyed in the 5th century B.C. Daniel chapter 6. So the language, Marley, of a present-day Babylon has to be symbolic. Real Babylon does not exist, does it?
No.
So this Babylon is a symbolic name. And when you look at Revelation 17 and verse 9, here is the mind which has wisdom, Revelation 17, 9. The seven heads are seven what? On which the? Yeah. And many commentaries believe that the real city identified here is the city of Rome, which sits on seven hills. Rome is modern Babylon. Rome is the harlot. The Roman system. The Roman system of religion. Then I took time to point out that the description of the beast which the woman rides on is described with the same seven heads and ten horns that describe the dragon of Revelation 12:3 and also the beast of Revelation 13:1. So, you're listening. The dragon, Revelation 12. The beast, Revelation 13. The woman, Revelation 17, are all the same false system. Because all of them are described as having seven heads and what? Ten horns. Is everybody listening?
Yes.
And that's why I taught you last week that we're dealing here with a system of falseness.
Yes.
Satan has successfully contrived a system, a religious system of falseness, and the Bible is teaching us that many have been deceived by this system. Many have been deceived by the system. Now, the nondescript beast of Daniel 7 also has the ten horns. And then we summed up, everybody's listening, everybody's paying attention, we summed it up last week by pointing out that these powers, Satan and false religion, represent a system of falseness that does four things. One, it oppresses true believers. Two, it is both religious and political, because the only way that a religious system can get its ideas enforced, it must have political influence. You tell me what church leader is the only church leader that presidents and kings stop by to see. Unless your head is stuck in the sand, you know exactly who that is. Number three, this religious system seeks to replace God's authority. Number four, it is inspired and controlled by Satan. And today I'll add one more. This system distorts God's word. Now, I took a lot of time last week. Don't want to go back into last week's sermon. But brothers and sisters, pastor was serious last week. The only way, Brother Dormus, that you're going to be able to stand in the last days, you got to know the Bible for yourself.
Yes.
And you young folks sitting up there growing up in this church, don't be an Adventist because your mom and dad's an Adventist. You be an Adventist because you've learned the Bible for yourself.
Yes.
And believe for yourself. Because in these last days, the test is going to come individually. In fact, my Bible says, Romans 14:10, that every person must give an account for himself. That's scary, man. How can you give an account if you don't know nothing? And don't be quoting Pastor Wright. I'll be doing good to get in heaven myself. You better quote God's word. Come on, somebody. Now, I'm teaching, not preaching today. Teaching. Just teaching. Help me, Lord. So, the system is being revealed. Now, there was a quote in last week's sermon, which I did not read because it's a long quote, and the sermon ran long. And I do not try to preach too long. I've told you before, my greatest fear is to become a long-winded old preacher. I'm already old, so I'm trying to avoid long-winded. But in chapter 38, The Great Controversy, Avondale, I found this. Brother, do you have it for me? Oh, look at this. I want us all to read this together. This comes out of the book, Great Controversy, pages 603, 604. That's a long quote, but you can read and you can hang in there with me. Come on, let's go together. Everybody, the scripture points toward a time when the announcement of the fall of Babylon, as made by the second angel, Revelation 14, verse 8, is to be repeated with the additional mention of the corruptions which have been entering the various organizations that constitute Babylon. Notice, Babylon is what? Various organizations. See, Babylon is a symbolic name. So anybody that teaches falseness, I say, and fosters falseness in the name of religion is Babylon. Any false beliefs you have as a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, any false ideas that you have, even as a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that are not biblical, then you are also a member of Babylon. Because Babylon is just flat out confusion. It's people who move their mouth, nothing is coming out. I'm just teaching. Let's read on. Reach on. Which have been entered the version of that country, Babylon, since the message was given in the summer of 1844. Keep on. A terrible condition of the religious world is here described. What is that condition? Let's read. With every rejection of truth, the minds of people become darker. I have to pause there. I have to remind you that those of you in this church who claim to know the truth and do not practice in your life the truth, therefore are rejecting the truth, therefore your mind is becoming darker. Let's read on. Their hearts more. You have people in the Adventist church who just think you can't tell them nothing. Even though the Bible says return to the Lord tithe and offering, that stubborn Adventist is still going to turn in his tithe and then expect us to take your tithe and also split it into offering, which we will not do. Or when the pastor presses you for offering, you take some of your tithe and give it as offering and think you're going to be blessed. You will be cursed. See, I knew they wouldn't say amen, Rodney, so now I'm going to help them. Amen! Stubborn, just a stubborn Adventist. You know in these last days that the meats and things being served are becoming more and more impure. But you're just going to go on and eat your meat anyhow. See, this is not in the notes. This is not in the notes. The Lord is moving upon me now to say these things to you. You're not going to be eating any animals in heaven. Get your intestines ready now for purity. All right, leave it alone, Henry Wright. Leave it alone. Okay. In defiance, let's read. In defiance, everybody's reading. In defiance of the warnings which God has given, they will continue to trample upon one. How many? Of the precepts of the Decalogue until they are led to persecute those who hold it sacred. She's now talking about the Sabbath. Babylon is going to be responsible. Good to see you, Mark. Babylon is going to be responsible for causing people who keep the true Sabbath to be persecuted. That's why in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, those of you who are visiting us, you're not members of the Adventist Church, that's why the Adventist Church has a special department called Religious Liberty. We have lawyers who are trained to defend us so we can get our jobs and not go to church on Saturday. This country purports, claims religious liberty. Now those of us who are students of Revelation know the day will come when this country will change. But there are going to be those who will trample on one and persecute those. Keep on. Christ, everybody, Christ is set at naught in the contempt placed upon his word and his people. As the teachings of spiritualism, that's next week, are accepted by the churches, the restraint imposed upon the carnal heart is removed, and the profession of religion will become a cloak to conceal the basest iniquity. Yeah. 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 A belief in spiritual manifestations opens the door to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and this, the influence of evil angels, will be felt in the churches. Now, we'll deal with that next week. I'm going to deal with demonic manifestations in the church next week. You're going to learn next week that the worst form of devil possession is not these movies of people with their heads turning around on their neck, that stupid stuff, and foaming at the mouth. The worst manifestation of devil possession is a person who says no when Jesus says yes. Now, if you miss next week, shame on you. Now, in my sermon next week, I also shared that the commentary points out on page 868 that this wine of the fornication of Babylon, of course, is false teachings. Now, you remember in the sermon last week, I took you back to Genesis 11. Anybody remember that?
Yes.
Babylon started in Genesis. Remember when they built the Tower of Babel?
Yes.
Does anybody remember that?
Yes.
Tower of Babel, where it means confusion. And they built it because they didn't trust God. Remember that?
Yes.
He said no more flood to destroy the earth. They didn't buy it, so we're going to build the tower so high that if the rains come, we're going to climb and escape God. They did not trust God. And we pointed out in the sermon last week that Babylonianism is a spirit of not taking God at his word. Now, when Daniel 7 introduces this power that acts against God, it makes some accusations against that power, and those same accusations are made against the beast in Revelation 13. Go to Daniel 7:25. Daniel 7:25. Daniel 7:25. When you find it, I hate it when preachers do this, but I'm going to do it. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
Now, this power is the little, stay with me, this power is the little horn that grows out of the beast with 10 horns in Daniel. Look what it says this power will do. He shall speak what? Against the Most High. He shall do what? And then what will he do next? Wait a minute. Yannick, there's a power going to rise up that's going to think to change times and law. I wish you read Hebrew. The Hebrew is very clear. It says, there's a power coming that will seek to change the time in the law. Now, there's only one commandment in the Bible that deals with time. Remember the Sabbath day? Come on, somebody, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, Come on. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It's the only commandment that deals with time, and the Bible predicts a power will arise that will seek to change the time in God's law. Now, Revelation 13, 6 and 7, the same accusation is made against the beast. And we know the beast is tied to the woman is tied to the city, and the city is Babylon, so forth and so on. So, there's only one commandment of God that deals with time. It is the fourth of the Ten Commandments. Why should the beast power of Revelation, the little horn power of 7, the dragon of Revelation 12, the woman on the beast in Revelation 17, and all of these together really are Babylon of Revelation 18, why would this system of false religion, this system of confusion, want to change this particular commandment? What do they have against the Sabbath? And why are you sitting here on it? Go to Revelation 14, 6 and 7. How are you doing so far? All right. Might as well be, because I'm not done. Revelation 14, 6 and 7. Then, here comes another angel. I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. Watch it now. Having the, what? To preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Now look at verse 7. Come on, read, everybody. Saying, everybody, do what? Why? Then do what? Now, keep your finger there and go to Exodus 20 and verse 11. Keep your finger in Revelation 14. Go to Exodus 20, 11. Exodus 20, 11 is the last part of the fourth commandment. The Sabbath commandment is the fourth commandment. And the last part of the fourth commandment tells us why we should keep the Sabbath. Read. I need help, everybody. Read. Did you recognize that language? That's the same language found in the message of the first angel of Revelation 14. Come on, somebody. See, in the last days, the Bible is saying that the angels of the Lord are going to resurrect to the whole world the teaching of the Sabbath. Am I the only one excited? It's going to become joy an issue. It's going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue. When you were baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church to stand on God's word, including the fourth commandment, the Sabbath, you were not just baptized to keep some day to be different from people. You were baptized because God is upset that the day he set aside to remind people that they did not come from the primordial slime, that we're not the results of the Big Bang, but a God in glory stepped out on nothing, spoke, and we came into existence. That's why every seventh-day Sabbath, I drive out of my driveway. My neighbors are watching. Where is he going? I'm going over to the church. Why? Today is the seventh-day Sabbath. I got to tell the God who made us. I'm not an accident. I just can't teach this, y'all. I got to tell it. Isn't this something? Now I'm getting stirred up. Why? Because this Sabbath thing is bigger than a day. The world needs to know there's a God in glory who still exists. That getting up on Monday morning is no accident. God put fresh breath in your nostrils. He's insulted for somebody to say he's the Big Bang, he's the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. All things exist because of this God. So he says, I need a bunch of people. What they're going to do every Saturday morning, they're going to rise up and take their Bibles under their arms. Not their cell phones, their Bibles under their arms. So that people can see they're going to church. They're going to get on the metro with their Bible under their arm. Pay their money. Folk looking, why is this man got a Bible on Saturday morning? Because that man has dedicated himself to proclaim the message of the first angel. Fear God. Give glory to him. Why? He made everything. Is that good, Audley? You know that's good stuff. Yes, sir. Pastors tell it just like it is. So the fall of Babylon includes a rise of the Sabbath. Babylon's going down. Sabbath is coming up. Yes, sir. Woo! Lord, have mercy. So it's not just a day to go to church. And that's why I like where this church sits. Right in the heart of town. Come on. And so when they drive by, they see y'all going in. And when church is over, I like the way you leave. You leave in packs. They see packs of people. Yes! Coming out there on Eastern Avenue. What are they doing? They're coming out of church. What church is that? Seventh-day Adventist church. Why are they there on the seventh day? They might even read and find out that God made this earth, set up a day, has not changed his mind. All right. Calm down. Now. In the second book of Thessalonians, Paul warns us about a power. Go there. 2 Thessalonians. Got to work on this thing on my head here. It used to fit. 2 Thessalonians. It's not Z's fault. He asks me every week, does it fit? I say yes. Well, it's not fitting. It's my fault. It's not fitting. Say it's not fitting. 2 Thessalonians. Second chapter. Now look at this. Well, let's start at the beginning. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 1. I like the way Paul works, writes, because he gives a strong word. Here he goes. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's talking about the last days and our gathering together to him. We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind, Juliana, or troubled. See, to stand for God, you got to have a steady brain. Would somebody say amen? Amen. Got to be steadfast, the Torah, because as a young woman rearing your child, there are people going to try to turn you this way and that way, but because you know what God says. They may persecute you, they may talk about you, they may not want to give you a job that you can have, but because you're steady, you know God, the same God that made the heavens and the earth is the same God that can change that boss's mind. He won't even remember that he hired you.
Amen.
Who's that over there? You hired him yesterday. Oh, did I? I guess I did. If God wants it, the same God who can cause the sun to shine, you know he can make any boss give you a job. Somebody say amen out there.
Amen.
So Paul writes and says, don't be shaken or troubled in mind either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Verse 3, come on. Let no man deceive you, enemies, that the day, that's the last day, will not come unless what? Some folk won't have the guts to hang in there. When they can't find a job, Avondale, they're going to weaken. They're going to go to church on Saturday. I mean, go to work on Saturday. Yeah. You notice, Elder, it's quiet in the place. Yeah, go to work on Saturday. Try to rationalize it. Miss the opportunity. See, that boss needs to know. He needs to know. I watched that movie about Desmond Doss the other night, and that young man said to his captain, "I cannot do these duties on Saturday. It's the Sabbath." Ha! That thing did something for me. I want to be a Daniel who stands by the fire and says, "I may burn, I'm not going to bow. I want some of that stuff down in my craw. I don't want to be a wimp in the last days. I want to be somebody that God can count on to say, 'This is the way. Walk ye in it.'" Hey, do I have any company today? Let no man deceive you, they will not come unless there be a falling away first, and the man of sin is revealed. See, that's the same power in Revelation 12, 13, 17, and 18. Now, what does this power do? Look at verse 4. I wish y'all would read verse 4 with me. Come on. Stop, stop. Start again, everybody. Who opposes... I'm in Isaiah 12. I'm in Isaiah 12. When Satan falls, called Lucifer there, Linda, the Bible says that he says there, "I'm going to exalt myself above God." So this power has the same spirit as Satan did when he fell. Any power that replaces God is this power, because when you keep the seventh day Sabbath, you're acknowledging the sovereignty of God. It's more than a day. It's a badge. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love getting up on Sabbath morning. Put on my suit with my vest. They know I'm not going to cut the lawn. They know that. "What's the Reverend doing?" That's what they call me in my neighborhood. "What's the Reverend doing?" It's his Sabbath. It's going to church. Yeah. See, you don't, folk, if you just live it and do it, you don't need to give a lot of explanations. Just be it.
Yes.
Don't have to go to work on Friday with a Bible in your hand. Just leave early. Well, we get off at 5, sunset at 4:30. I'll see you on Monday. On somebody, just be it. Get some backbone and be it. There are just too many Christians going along like donkeys with the crowd. No, God has called out a people who say, "This is the way. I'm going to walk in it. Here I stand. I can do no other." Yeah. Sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So your seventh-day Sabbath, the keeping of it, is to be an answer to Babylon. Neighbors see you. Employers come to know. Family members observe. Don't compromise when the non-Adventist family member visits you on the weekend. You got to tell them the TV will not be on from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Why? Because that's a time of devotion to God. See, one thing I admire about the Catholic people, when you go to their hospitals, they don't take down their crucifixes to make you feel comfortable. We Adventists now are even taking the names off our hospitals. Don't get me started, y'all, now. Let me stay with your sermon. Because I'll get upset right in the middle of what I'm talking. I'll get upset. It's time to wear the badge. Somebody say amen out there. It's time to wave the flag. This is who we are. Why? There's a lot at stake here. A world needs to know that there's a God who made everything. They actually, I get so mad. How in the world are you going to tell me I came from an ape? How are you going to do that to me? I've watched them in the zoo. I didn't come from that. I ain't got nothing to do with that. Don't connect me with somebody walking around all stooped over and head all slanted. That's not me. My grandpa didn't look like that. Adam and Eve didn't look like that. That ain't me. That's not me. I'm an intelligent man made in the image of God. Somebody say amen out there. Don't connect me with that foolishness. But if you came from an ape, you have an excuse for acting like one. Now that was not in the notes. That just kind of hit me. The bam! Boom! Say it. I said it. The leading of the Holy Ghost. We're not the only ones. I'm closing now, Anwar. Not the only ones. Not the only ones. Now, I'm going to preach a real sermon on the Sabbath next year in my evangelistic series. I'm just whetting your appetite. We're not the only ones. There are Seventh-day Baptists. Seventh-day Pentecostals. Seventh-day Church of Christ. And then our faithful Jewish friends. We have help. And then they're discovering, as they did in New Guinea 20 years ago, the missionaries came upon a village where people from civilization had never been. They had never been. This story was in our Mission Quarterly 30 years ago. Remember the story? They came to this village, found the people dressed up, not naked. They had stopped eating pork. People in New Guinea eat pork. They stopped eating pork. And they worshiped on the seventh day. And they cried, where did you get this from? Come to find out, Avondale, there was a deaf, dumb, blind boy who lived in the village who started seeing pictures in his dreams of this man. And as he described through a sign language, it's like the pictures we see of Jesus. And this man told him to tell the village. And so they found in the middle of nowhere, Sabbath keeping, non-pork eating people of God. Why? God can't wait on us. The whole earth shall be lightened with his glory. Sabbath keepers. Sabbath keepers. Give me my last statement. They're going to read it with me. That last statement. In the 16th century. You got that one? I'll read it. In the 16th century, that's the last one. I want the one before that. There we go. I love these guys. They're wonderful. Let's read. In the 16th century, a papal council plainly declared that all Christians remember that the seventh day was consecrated by God. Read. And hath been received and observed not only by Jews, but by all others who pretend to worship God, though we have changed their Sabbath into the Lord's Day. You see, even the system of religion that claims to have changed the sacredness from Saturday to Sunday admits that in the Bible, and ladies and gentlemen, and my friends watching online all over this world, I declare to you today, the only guide is not papal statements, but thus saith the Lord. Amen. Now that last statement that you want to put up there first, the last one, very last one, that says the Sabbath will be, that's it, let's read together. More than a day. Folk, coming to church on Saturday, the Sabbath, is more than a day. I don't worship a day.
Amen. Amen.
I worship the God who made heaven and earth.
Amen.
And the creation has to be celebrated when the creation is over. February 3rd, 2017, I'll be 75. I celebrate my 75th year after the year has been lived. There's a reason why we celebrate our birthdays at the end of the year. You can't celebrate what you ain't lived yet. And as soon as I turn 75, I'll be living in my 76th year. The Sabbath is at the end of the week. You can't celebrate when ain't been done yet. Hey! First day, he made light. Second day, he made air. Third day, he made the land. Fourth day, he made the luminaries. Fifth day, he made the fish and fowl. Sixth day, he made man and animals. And then on the seventh day, after he had done something, then he said, rest! Don't forget the Sabbath, the day the Lord has made. Come on, Anwar. I'm going to have him stand with you and sing the song. Come on, stand up. Stand up. It's an old song. Anwar, as a young fellow, had to remind him about this song. And he remembered it. Remembered it. Now, we old folk know this song. Don't you know it? Now, young folk, I'm going to teach you a good song, good old hymn. Don't forget the Sabbath. Woo! The day the Lord hath made. Everybody singing now.
Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God has blessed. Of all the week, the brightest. Of all the week, the best. It brings repose from labor. It tells of joy divine.
Yes, yes, yes.
Its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine.
Love the chorus.
Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Bless this Sabbath day.
Sister Joy, can you speed this song up?
Keep the Sabbath holy and worship Him.
Yes, 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 yes.
Who said to His disciples, I am the living way.
There you go, there you go.
And if we meekly follow our Savior here below.
Yes, yes, yes.
He'll give us of the fountain whose names return.
Now, stop, 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 stop. When you get to the chorus, welcome, welcome, you're going to start moving around the congregation and welcome people who are here, okay? You're going to be shaking hands while you sing. In the balcony, you got to find somebody. You're going to sing to them, welcome, welcome. Try to sing on key, if you will, please. Find people and shake their heads. Let's do that verse and that chorus. When we get to the chorus, start moving, okay? Do the verse.
Keep the Sabbath?
Yes, keep the Sabbath.
And
keep the Sabbath holy.
Not yet. Stay still. Stay
and
still.
Worship Him today.
Yes, yes, yes,
who
yes.
Who said to His disciples, I am the living way.
Sing it, sing it.
And if we meekly follow our Savior here below.
Come on now.
He'll give us from the fountain whose stream.
All right. You're moving. You're moving. Come on now. Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Yes, yes. Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, blessed Sabbath.
Hug somebody. Welcome in the church. Come on.
Welcome.
Welcome. Ever welcome. Wonderful. Next verse. Stay still.
Day of sacred pleasure. And
you're going to move again now.
In thankful praise to Jesus, the children's dearest friend.
Yes, yes.
Oh, gentle, loving Savior, how good and kind Thou
now.
How precious.
Go ahead.
Is thy promise.
I need some brave people. I want some folk upstairs to come downstairs, folk downstairs to go upstairs. Go ahead. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Shake somebody's hand. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome, ever welcome.
Sing the chorus again. Sing the chorus again. Welcome, welcome.
Oh, welcome, welcome.
That's it, that's it, that's it. God bless you. That's it, that's it, that's it.
Welcome, welcome, ever welcome. Bless this Sabbath day.
Sing it again one more time. Welcome.
Welcome,
beautiful, beautiful.
Bless this Sabbath day.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome, ever welcome. Bless this Sabbath day.
Put your hands together and praise God for the holy Sabbath day. You're very special.
Amen.
You're very brave.
Amen.
And you're proof.
Yes.
That there are people who have the courage to be different.
Yes.
For the sake of God's word.
Amen.
Seventh-day Adventists, we're not an odd group. We're not trying to be better than anybody else. We just read this book and we can't run from it.
Amen.
The seventh day,
yes.
Saturday is the Sabbath. Not the first day, Sunday. Got nothing against the person who goes to church on that day. They're not keeping the Sabbath. This day, celebrated at the end of the week, says we thank God for making everything we have.
Amen.
And so every time, Kim, you come, God bless you, on the Sabbath day, you are making a statement that Babylon is fallen and truth has risen. Give God glory.
Amen.
Give God glory. Bow your heads. Now, Lord, next week we deal with an even more serious subject. We're going to go into Satan's inner sanctum. First of all, I pray special protection for me during this week.
Amen.
Amen.
Satan does not like what I plan to do. I know that already. I pray for this building. He'd like to lock it down between now and next Sabbath. And I pray for everybody here who's made up their mind they're going to be here next Sabbath. Thank God Babylon is fallen. Truth is rising. The Sabbath shall be the subject of the nation in just a few years to come. And God's people will fulfill God's purpose. Now, if you're watching me right now online and you want to know more information about the seventh-day Sabbath, Pastor Cosley Joseph is now in conversation with you online. We'll be glad to send you materials, information, that you might read more about the seventh-day Sabbath. If you're standing in this congregation right now and you want to know more, go to our website. Call our church. We're not going to try to beat your brain in. We'll share with you the facts of God's word that you might make a decision of your own to become a part of God's waving flag. Babylon is fallen. And now, Lord, may the Sabbath keepers around the world, not just Seventh-day Adventists, many people we don't even know are keeping Sabbaths in their home. People in China are keeping Sabbaths in their home right now.
Amen.
Meeting secretly in houses. Hallelujah!
Amen.
For the Sabbath. Other places, people are afraid to go out, but they still, by grace and faith, observe your day. You will open the way for them. But we here in this land of freedom, God have mercy upon us if we fail to witness when we can at the 7 days of the Sabbath. So to this end we pray, and we close this service except for the lifting of the offering. In Jesus' name, all the people said, Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We want the one doing the offering appeal to come right.